Welcome to another program of Vantage Point with George and Rita Kelly.
Every now and again, words to some old songs pop into my mind. I wonder where they came from. Then I realise they have something in common with what I've been thinking about, and usually they're the ones with catchy words.
I know. I often hear you singing a line or two of some song, and I also wonder where it came from, especially when the song hasn't been around for ages.
I mostly like songs with a good tune, of course, but I like lyrics that mean something to me, and I admit I do not like songs that are repetitious. I feel like, yes, I get it. Don't keep on and on about it. That's my generation, I guess.
One song from way back that often comes to my mind is a World War II classic, written by Johnny Mercer. Mr. In-Between draws from some old truths that ring with conviction. Listen to these lyrics. You gotta accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, latch on to the affirmative, don't be a Mr. In-Between. You've gotta spread joy up to the maximum, bring gloom down to the minimum, have faith or pandemonium's liable to walk upon the scene.
And what that's trying to tell us is this. Mr. In-Between equals indecision, changing your mind this way and that. The message is stay positive and don't get stuck in the negatives of your past.
We need to make up our minds one way or the other, especially where God is concerned. The atheist says, there is no God. The Christian says, yes, there is a God. But the agnostic is a fence-sitter and says, maybe there is a God or maybe there isn't, so I'm not going to decide.
But like someone has once said, not to decide is to decide. Many believe God's Ten Commandments are full of negativity because they are full of thou shalt not, and a list of things follow. But in many cases in life, negatives can actually be positives. For example, you say to your child, don't run out onto the road without looking. And adults are told, don't exceed the speed limit. And we all know the consequences of disobeying these rules, don't we?
For those who still doubt that Jesus was God's son, in the same century that Jesus lived, his faithful follower John wrote something for people who lived many centuries later. It's as if John knew there would be doubters and he wanted believers in Jesus to know that, as well as being God in the flesh, Jesus was also just as much a man. He refers to Jesus as the life. Listen to these words.
That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testify to it. We proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ.
You see, here the beloved disciple John showed us clearly that Jesus' disciples were close enough to walk and talk and eat with and touch the humanity of Jesus. John is telling us in no uncertain language how real Jesus was, just as if he were giving his testimony in a court of law.
If you really want to know how you can be sure you can be saved from your sins and on the right way to heaven, listen to what John tells us from the Bible. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life.
We hope you enjoyed the program today. If you would like to write to us, simply address your letter to George Galley, Box 101, Moorbank, New South Wales 2170. That address again, George Galley, Box 101, Moorbank, 2170.